Fork Tales, a podcast that feeds ideas to the food and beverage world. Fork Tales is brought to you by Vigor, a branding and advertising agency focused on the restaurant and hospitality industry, and by Quench, a food and beverage advertising agency that specializes in evolving iconic food and beverage brands. Learn more, visit vigorbranding.com and quenchagency.com. If you love what we're serving up, please give Fork Tales a 5-star review on your podcast service of choice. Think of it as a tip for good service.
Hi, and welcome to Fork Tales. Today we're joined by Mike Diabonito, the CEO of Golden Waffles, a brand that's been serving up fresh baked waffle perfection since 1937. Today, their waffle program can be found in more than 50,000 locations in 60 countries worldwide. Under Mike's leadership, Golden Waffle is also recently underwent a rebrand, which we want to talk a lot about. We'll dive deep into that and the process, everything around it, and some stuff about the waffle industry and trends. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
So I'm going to go right on the record and say it. I love waffles more than pancakes. So
all right, that is important because this would have ended really quickly.
Clear the air, right? It's just they're so much better. There's just so much better. So so tell us about yourself and the Golden Waffle brand.
Sure. So obviously I'm here because I'm the CEO of Golden Waffles. But first and foremost, I'm a dad. My daughter Eliana just turned 6. My son Mikey is 4. 4 and a half, he would correct me, actually, if he were listening to this right now. I've been married to my wife, Whitney, for going on 8 years now, but that's who I am. And that's, you know, that's how I truly identify as a person. But as, you know, CEO of Golden Waffles, it's been the second most fun thing I've ever done in my entire life. You know, so Golden Waffles, it's been around for 90 years, started in 1937. We are best known for fresh baked waffles in hotels, restaurants, I would say way beyond just breakfast. And what makes us different is we're an all-inclusive waffle program. You know, you buy the mix from us, you get the irons, the service, and the support at no additional charge. You know, our mission is it's really simple. It's happy, made easy. We don't just sell waffle mix. You know, we help operators serve a great waffle without any friction.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So a lot of people forget about waffles aren't just for breakfast. You remind people on your website, waffles can be used for breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, everything. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, waffles on their own can be a delicious and fulfilling meal. I love waffles, right? But, you know, they can also be a platform. You know, we've seen savory really take off, just fried chicken and waffles, pulled pork. Short ribs, staying in breakfast, even eggs Benedict on waffles has been a very natural pairing. When you get into lunch and dinner, you know, the waffle sandwich, sliders, stuffed turkey and cheese waffles, which is actually a mainstay in our house for family parties and just for the kids, you know, desserts, ice cream, waffles and ice cream, waffles and Nutella. Our churro waffles are actually a big hit really across the country. You know, I would say globally, waffles are used far more creatively, you know, internationally in Europe, especially for desserts, than we tend to see in the U.S. You know, bread tells you really what to do. It's a carrier. A waffle asks, how creative do you want to be?
That's awesome. I love it. So how did you become the CEO of Golden Waffle?
My path has been really through all different places in the food business. You know, most of my time was spent in full broadline distribution. Loved every second of it. I started as a customer service rep, actually working for US Foods in Albany, just taking in cut steak orders and placing them through the old green screen on our desktop computers that nobody uses anymore. And I just progressed through the industry as a sales rep, carried a bag on the street for some time as a buyer, category manager, worked at regional, corporate, national levels. And most of my transition through roles has actually been through acquisitions. So I was working at the US Foods corporate office the day that it was announced that the Sysco acquisition was happening. Now, obviously, the government stopped that, but it was an interesting day to be coming into the office after that hit the wire. You know, a couple years later, I had moved from US Food to Reinhart just because of the acquisition, totally fine with all of it. But I was 27 years old, looking to continue to progress and, you know, waiting for the acquisition to to go through didn't feel like the right move for my career. So went to Reinhart, loved it. Loved it. What a great company, great people. Rose to division president there for, at the time, what was their largest facility in the country. And my wife, she's 6 months pregnant. We're moving up to Boston to take over the facility. And I get a phone call that Reinhart sold to PFG.
Oh,
and so PFG also amazing, loved it, loved the experience there. It was more just working through that acquisition. You know, I stayed there for 18 months, but then had the opportunity pop up with Ferraro. That was my first entrance mm-hmm. into private equity. Still broadline distribution, but it's Italian specialty pizza. Incredible people, incredible experience. But all of those moves were driven by acquisitions. Golden Waffles is the first time where I actually like leapt at something. I ran towards something. This was such an incredible opportunity the day that it was explained to me. You know, at the time it was Golden Malted, and obviously mm-hmm. we'll talk about mm-hmm. that transition as we get deeper into this. But you take a look at the product, you take a look at the people, what they do here, the fact that partnership comes first. You lead with people, and everything is about making it as easy as possible for your customers to do business with you. And on top mm-hmm. of that, it's delicious, fresh baked waffles, right? Like what's a more fun product win. To be a part of? So it was just an opportunity I could not pass up. And so thankful that it did come my way, because it's been the best thing I've ever done. Like I said, outside of my time with my wife and kids, this is the most fun I've ever had.
That's awesome. That's good for you. And I love the positive attitude. That's it's infectious. So I'm also fascinated by people that own brands or presidents of companies. And how often do you consume your own products? Like, you know, when's the last time you ate a waffle, and what did you put on it?
So I know the spirit of this question, because, you know, you're going to want something super creative. I eat a waffle every day. We okay. are constantly in the test kitchen, in the innovation lab, just trying to perfect our mix, trying to, you know, drive innovation through the iron itself. And so, you know, if the waffle's right, you don't need to hide it under toppings. And mm-hmm. the most recent waffle I had was just a plain waffle. I was actually testing out a new product that hopefully we'll be launching in the coming months here. It's actually a fiber waffle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was delicious as everything else is that we make. Now, to get back into the original intent of the question, so over the break, we host all the time in our neighborhood, ton of young kids in our neighborhood. It's actually amazing. It's so fun. And having the waffle and the waffle iron ready to go for parties is actually a pretty good draw. But we did my kid's favorite, which is stuffed mini waffles stuffed with chocolate. We did mini waffles stuffed with ham and cheese, mini waffles stuffed with turkey and cheese. And then we also did your plain waffle with whipped cream and ice cream. And so that is the most recent creative waffle that we had over the holiday break. But you could ask me any given day, when's the last time you had a waffle? And it's going to be today.
Yeah, that's I guess that makes sense with R&D. I can say, honestly, I think my last one was on Saturday. You know, I always get at breakfast, when I go out to breakfast, I always get a waffle, like on the side, I get some eggs and everything else, but I always want a waffle. I'm just butter and syrup. Keep it kind of simple. I love it though. So
the classic is so many people's favorite. I have gotten to the point now, because of my children's preference, that a plain waffle with whipped cream is actually what I eat more often than anything else.
Well, kids do, you know, they steer a lot of the grocery shopping, a lot of the meal planning. I mean, they end up running the roost. So that's not surprising. So, okay, we'll talk about some rebranding here. So I want to spend a lot of time on this. It's something you know very well because you just did it. So Golden Waffles recently rebranded, you know, after almost 90 years of being known as Golden Malted. Take us through the process that led you to the decision to rebrand, change the name, and why was this the right time to make that happen?
Certainly not a decision that's taken lightly, right? You know, right. Our angle was to respect the past, but it was time to really unlock the future for us. Golden Malted, incredible brand. Mm-hmm. To us, it described an ingredient and not necessarily the experience. When we it's funny, this is really important when you're going through a rebrand. You need to sit down, put everybody in a room, like pull down the shades and really like talk about, this is what we think makes sense. Let's poke as many holes in it as we can. And so we sat down, we had a strategy session back in October of 2023. And what came out when we were discussing the name of the company, the spirit of the organization, is that whenever our people walk into a customer, what we get back is, here comes the waffle guy. Oh, there's the waffle gal, right? Like we were already referred to as mm-hmm. the waffle people. Mm-hmm. And so as our product line expanded, as we came out with new mixes, as we continued developing the iron, you work with innovation, you work with R&D, we felt we had earned the right to modernize the brand. Mm-hmm. And so Golden Waffles for us is just clearer, warmer. It's instantly understandable. You know, yes. Who are we? We're the waffle people. And so we didn't abandon our history, but we clarified it. This is who we are. This is who we want to be. This is what we want to be known for. Delicious, fresh baked Golden Waffles. Yeah.
And I mean, I'll say this, and it's probably going to sound obvious, but telling people what you do is actually a really smart thing. You know, I mean, because I mean, by the name itself, Golden Malted, you might not know really what we're talking about here, but I think everyone pretty much knows what a waffle is. So, I mean, and but again, back to not taking it lightly, you know, I'm sure there's logos on machines and branding and websites and all kinds of expenses, maybe vehicles, whatever. There's the names everywhere. And then so when you change it, all of a sudden it's like, well, there's a change. So there's a cost to all that, which is not taken lightly because, hey, we've been doing this for whatever, 80 years or 85 years at that point, however long it was. And now we're gonna all of a sudden change all this, and there's a cost that we didn't have to afford the last 90 years or whatever. And so it's not an easy decision, and I'm sure a lot goes into that. I think people take for granted when decisions like this are made that it's no big deal. It's pretty simple and smart.
There's a mentality when you go into it, cost versus investment.
Right.
So you know who where do you want to spend your money? No matter what, you're going to be investing in your business. And so we invest in all things that make it easier to do business with Golden Waffles, to buy from Golden Waffles, and also all things that make it easier for our people mm-hmm. to work on behalf of Golden Waffles, right? So we made a significant investment in the trucks. Like you said, it's not just a rewrap of the brand. It's also refreshing the fleet and making sure that all of our people on the road have the best quality office, right? Because mm-hmm. that's their office on wheels yep. that they yep. can have. And so if you're going to invest on the inside of the business, which you have to do first, right? So if mm-hmm. the spirit, if the heart isn't right, you're not going to be able to redress it or polish that. So along with the rebrand itself and all the expenses that come with it, you invest back into the core areas of the business and you're making it easier for your team to go out and represent your organization. It also makes it easier to recruit. To, you know, as we expand our team, we've expanded tremendously. A ton mm-hmm. more people work here right now than did back in 23 when we started this journey together. And it's easier to bring in the best people if you're giving them the best tools to be successful.
That's very cool. And, you know, like from our side, like what we do is, you know, it's Fork Tales podcast, but we are Quench, which is a CPG food and beverage marketing firm. And we also have an agency called Vigor, which is restaurants, right? So, we do rebranding. We did not do yours. And I want to say, I think it's impeccable. I checked it out. I mean, I've looked at the trucks. I've seen it. I think it's really, really well done. And so I congratulate you on that. And it's also refreshing and reassuring to talk to somebody who really gets the value of it. Because, and I say this with all the respect in the world, a lot of times the CEO, the president, whatever, of a company is going to see this as a balance sheet thing. It's expensive. And we didn't do it last year. We didn't do it the year before. Why do we need to take this financial hit? Why do we need to change this? Why do we have to risk someone not finding us? And but you said very articulately everything that is the right reason to do it. The employees, the look, the feel, it's a refresh. There's energy. It's just brilliant. So good for you and congratulations on that. And what I want to do is when we do that, as we build this podcast out, I think we'll have I want to show the old logo and the new logo. So the folks that are watching can check this out and understand better exactly the where you came from. And so on that, talk about the brand's new look and the feel and the process at arriving at the new brand. How did that go? Talk about that a little bit, please.
You know, it's really all about internal communication and making sure that you're not leaving anyone behind in the process, right? Like I'm probably not the best person to be on this podcast. You know, I supported every yeah. aspect of this. I learned so much from my people internally, from the brilliant people up at Arbor, our sponsors who, you know, acquired the business mm-hmm. back in 2023, about like what goes into the rebrand and why you do it, right? Mm-hmm. You don't rebrand just to look cool. You better look cool at the end of it, you don't rebrand to look cool. You rebrand to be clear. Mm-hmm. Right? Your brand should be, make it easier for your mm-hmm. customers to choose you. And like I said before, if the inside, if the guts of the business isn't ready, a logo change is not going to save anything. And so our rebrand was intended to remove friction, not necessarily to add polish. And so my role within this was making sure that I was doing all I could to make the transition smooth internally and externally. And that's the communication piece. So you communicate over and over and over, internally, externally, bring your customers along with you. Make sure that it isn't a big surprise when the box shows up and it has a different label on it, mm-hmm. a different logo on it, right? Like we weren't changing the product. We were updating the spirit of the organization within the brand itself. Mm-hmm. And so when we go into it with that mentality, we already have the product, we already have the service. We don't necessarily want to change the experience that our customers are having. We just want to make sure that when you hear the name Golden Waffles, you understand what you're getting into, right? Yeah. You understand who you're partnering with. And it actually, from my perspective, it made it easier for everyone to digest because all we were really doing is just reinforcing who we are mm-hmm. and what we do. That doesn't mean that so many questions weren't asked and so much data wasn't harvested and so many people weren't tested, right? Focus groups. What do you think? You know, which color yellow works best? Which color gold works best? Which shade of brown, right? These are not my areas of expertise, and I stayed out of the way of the people mm-hmm. that are great at that. And, you know, I don't know that I can accurately and appropriately really like discuss the amount of attention to detail and work mm-hmm. that went into perfecting all of that. But I'm so proud to have been a part of it and learned so much, right? Mm-hmm. So if you really mm-hmm. want to get the experts on the phone, we could do another podcast in a couple of weeks. If we're going to build a Waffles team on, they'll blow you away.
Yeah. Well, it's better coming from you, and I'll tell you why. I mean, you're the guy that's has to allow it to happen. And while that might seem like an easy thing to do, it's not. And for all the reasons I said earlier about the, you know, the costs and everything associated, confusion, all that stuff. So it's really, I can talk to marketing people all day. They get it. They talk about it. But you're the guy that's, you know, you had to say yes and you had to allow it to happen. And, you know, again, kudos for you for understanding the value and really, you know, harnessing that and riding it through. So so what challenges do you face? I mean, you know, how did you overcome them? I'm sure there were some things here and there, hiccups along the way.
Sure. You've got the initial fears. You had actually already mentioned it, you know, like run the risk of someone not finding you, right? The fear of losing a loyal customer. Even more stressful for me personally was the internal change management. What made this company so exciting to be a part of it, to be the leader of the organization, was the people and the pride that they all had in mm-hmm. at Golden Malted. And so the first big move that the CEO is making when it comes in is changing the name of the organization. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it was all about bringing, again, the customers and the associates along early. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Right? It's relentless communication, and it's not the communication in the form of talking at people. It's communication in the form of asking them for feedback. Mm-hmm. And so for us, this truly was an evolution. It's not a replacement. Going from focusing in on an ingredient that we felt made us special to focusing in on the end result, the experience, the product that mm-hmm. we know makes us special in the minds and the hearts of the consumer. Not just the customer, right? Like, because the customer is placing the order. The consumer is actually eating the waffle, enjoying the product, having the experience, and telling the story. And so for us, again, it's not about product changing. It's just, we got sharper, and communicating that appropriately to the team made it easier mm-hmm. for the 30-year associates to digest. This is why we're going from something that obviously worked really well to something that we felt like would tell our story with a little bit more clarity. Our mindset throughout this was, if you don't explain the why, people will fill in the blanks. And when they do that, typically, they're not doing it in a way that aligns with where your and the rest of the leadership team's head is at. So relentless communication was really the solution to the potential problem of that internal change manifesting a negativity.
So like, when you have a brand that's nearly a century old, you know, the rebrand, obviously we talked about, can be a challenge. How did you balance maintaining the heritage and, you know, the people and staying true to its roots while also modernizing the image?
It's the same answer. I apologize for being repetitive. I don't know that I could deviate from it though, because it's about having them be a part of it. Mm-hmm. They know this so much better than me. Mm-hmm. I knew that. Yeah. My job has always been, a customer wants something. I need to get it to them accurately, quickly, and without cutting any corners, right? Mm-hmm. That's actually my definition of success. My definition of success is where speed, honesty, and accuracy all meet. Who can get to the right answer the fastest without cheating? And so it's always been a very simple approach for me. There's a blocking mm-hmm. and tackling approach that I have. When you get in to the waffle business, and it's not just a waffle business. Again, like we need to be fair about what these people built. I didn't build mm-hmm. this. You know, it's almost a century-old business. Mm-hmm. Said it yourself. It was going great. Mm-hmm. And so we allow all the people that have made it special already to be a part of the rollout,
yeah.
to be a part of the launch. Part of our rebrand, because you focus in so much around packaging, product, what did the consumers see? What do the customers see? You know, we recently moved into a new corporate headquarters. It's a standalone facility. It's a attached building, but it's a standalone facility rather than sharing space with you know, other companies, which is how we were set up in the past. And we really invested in making sure that what our brand stood for, who we wanted to be, was represented within these four walls where I'm mm-hmm. sitting right now, a building that represents Golden Waffles and also makes the employees feel like they are a part of something more than just a fresh baked waffle company. They're a part of creating a memorable experience for everyone that goes out and sits down and chooses our customers as a place to feed their family. And in building out this facility, we allowed our associates to give us our feedback. So you create the guardrails, right? You say, mm-hmm. we're going to be Golden Waffles. We've all decided on that. These are the colors. Mm-hmm. But what do you think we should be saying within the four walls? Letting people own every aspect of it, at least little pieces of it. It can get out of control if everything goes to a vote. That's not really the way that projects work. But making sure that nobody felt like they were left out was how we got to, hey, we're still that company. We didn't forget our heritage. We are just taking it and moving into the next mm-hmm. stage of growth for the organization.
You know, you said something there I think is really astute. And that's, you know, one of the things we say, but you're explaining it, is brands are built from the inside out. And, you know, you have to bring people along, but they're brand advocates. They're your brand voice. They're your team. And, you know, we do this a lot. Like we get that, we do this work a lot. And we always talk about what's the internal communications around this. You don't want to do, even if it's a home run, everything you've done is excellent. You don't want to leave those folks out. You know, even the delivery driver, whomever, everyone needs to hear and be a part of this. And oftentimes as a company, we'll go in and do maybe multiple times the same presentation around where we're headed. We'll do focus groups. We'll do IDIs, all these things just to really, A, you learn a lot. And B, then people will feel a part of it. And it's super important. You know, another story on rebranding. And this was one, and I'm the CEO of the company. And this was daunting for me. One of our clients at Quench is Sun Made Raisins. And, you know, if I say Sun Made Raisins, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what the box looks like, you know what color it is. You can imagine everything that's on the logo. I don't have to even tell you. It's been around for forever. And they wanted to update or change the logo. They wanted to change the packaging. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, you know, everyone wants to do business and everyone, hey, it's a project and what a great name, what a great brand. I was really nervous. And we did a lot of focus groups. We took different designs. I'm very, very, very proud of what we did. We modernized it. But if I showed you the finished product, the packaging, you'd say, oh, that didn't change at all. It did. And if I put the old one next to it, you can see it changed a lot. But uh-huh. we really paid homage to it. And one of the, and I still remember this verbatim, sitting in the focus group, and I actually went to it, we're sitting behind the glass, and a woman said, changing the red box and the logo would be like changing the colors or the design of the American flag. And I never forgot that. because it is, it's an icon. It's an iconic American brand. And, you know, I never forgot that. So to me though, it's important, right? We have to pay homage to the heritage. Yeah, we can clean up the type. We can clean up the graphics. We can clean things up a little bit just to, you know, to make it easier for people to understand, to communicate better. Like you put the word waffle in, which it makes all the sense in the world. But those decisions aren't necessarily all that easy in the beginning. I think that's kudos to you. But I think that's it's a really a difficult ongoing process. So having lived through this, maybe there's something you wish you would have done differently or known about before you embarked on this. Is there anything that you can think of that you didn't know or that you wish you would have known going into it? You said you learned a lot through the process.
Hard-earned wisdom, right? There's nothing that I would say I would go back and change. I wouldn't necessarily say we would do anything differently. Being introspective about myself, mm-hmm. I feel like I would have been more outwardly excited from the beginning about what this was going to look and feel like. Now, it was certainly not that I was discouraging it or not.
I got you.
But it was, I realized at the end of it, how it made me feel. And let me give you an actual story here. So this is a personal story. Every night, my kids and I, my wife, we get together and we do something that we call the waffle dance. Okay. Now bear with me. So we did a rebrand video to launch the change from golden malted to golden waffles. It starts with the golden malted logo, mm-hmm. and it gets covered in waffle batter. Mm-hmm. And then out comes the golden waffles logo. And there's a video that just explains the transition. It pulls in some of the taglines, happy made easy. Mm-hmm. And, I played it for my kids when we first got it, and my wife and they all loved it. They're like, wow, this is fun. And my kids are so young that they're okay, rebrand, dad, whatever. Like you make waffles for a job, right? And so, but they started to dance to it. And then that night, my daughter was like, let's do the waffle dance again. I'm like, okay. We're now 2 years in. Every single night,
it's awesome.
We play that video, we do a dance to it. And the joy that we felt from, just watching the video and understanding like, wow, the pride that I got to feel from all the hard work from the people in my organization and the leadership at Arbor to have this type of output from day one, I could have done a better job of projecting that joy. And it probably would have made it easier for the rest of the team. Yeah. But I got to give everybody else credit. Nothing went wrong. Nothing slowed down. When I say I learned from them, that's part of what I learned. Mm-hmm. You have the right people in place. You trust them and you just kind of allow them to be great. And that's why this wound up being such a successful rebrand from my standpoint. And I would say from the standpoint of everyone that's been involved with it, right? It was an honor to be a part of it. It was an honor to be a part of the rollout. And I don't know that the waffle dance is ever going to go away. It's mm-hmm. going to be something that sticks with my family forever, all tied back to the original rebrand.
That's awesome. And two things with that. Number one, I think you have a social media concept there with the waffle dance that you should take viral. You really should. You should do something with the kids. And I mean, there's something there, really. There's something fun and very cool there that really plays homage to your happiness concept. So I think there's something, anyway. The other thing too is, and you have to give yourself credit though. You should have, and it makes sense to have some trepidation in the beginning because here you are, you're coming in. And like you said, the first thing I'm going to do is change the name of this company and I'm going to change it. And it's sort of like, it can certainly be seen from the inside. Oh, mm-hmm. this guy, like we were doing something wrong before. And it's one of those things where it is somewhat of a risk and it's a big decision. So I get it. And, I think it's cool. I was very good. I'm glad you shared that because that's, again, I think when people see results that are positive, it's the obvious thing. Of course, it was easy, starting a business, coming up with a new product or a new flavor. Oh, it was easy. Well, it's not easy. And there's mistakes along the way. So I think that's super cool. How did the customers respond?
Oh, they did love that. They loved it. There's an element of pride in everything that you put out on your line as a customer, right? And so your back of the house customers, the rebrand was received well. They felt like it told the story the right way, but it wasn't an immediate change in the experience for them. The customers that have the batter dispenser mm-hmm. out on the line, the syrup dispenser, the waffle iron, obviously, when we came in and modernized the look, I think a lot of them felt like we had finally caught up to them. Mm-hmm. Right. So they have a modern brand, a modern look, and they're constantly looking to update, upgrade. And it finally felt like in the moment, like, hey, we had moved into their, we were playing the same sport that they were. And so it was well received. You know, our reps talk about a task. You can't take every single iron out of the field to relabel it. Right. Mm-hmm, and so you can't shut down kitchens. You can't shut down breakfast buffets. And so our reps were going out by hand and relabeling every single one of those irons. But as they showed up, it was with open arms. People were excited mm-hmm. to see the new refreshed brand and the new refreshed iron out on the line. And so there certainly wasn't any real negative feedback I got at any moment about the change. We also made sure to communicate more than just the rep shows up and changes a label and changes a label, right? Send out the package, send out the letter, send out some mm-hmm. waffle socks mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. everybody with the new logo on it to make sure that they understand this is coming. We will not disrupt your business in order to change our branding on your behalf inside of your kitchen, inside of your restaurant. You know, this is what comes next, that relentless, never-ending communication to make sure that everyone, including the customers, are a part of it. And so you turn it into something exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, our announcement was a celebration. It wasn't a, it wasn't stepped into with any sort of trepidation. It was, we have arrived and we are excited to be here. And so I think from that standpoint, because of how everybody internally here was along for the ride the entire time, and they didn't show up with any sort of surprise either. The reception we got, we were I would please, that probably doesn't explain it appropriately. I was thrilled about awesome. How it all went, specifically, mm-hmm. you know, in the field with our reps, with our customers.
So I saw the video, by the way, and it's fantastic, and it does explain it well, and it's great. It's well done, and it's again, I said that we didn't do the work, but the work is beautiful, and so I always give credit where credit's due. So internally, again, you came in, you're the new guy, you're changing your name, you're changing. You said you communicated internally a lot, which is obviously super smart. Brands are built in from inside. We said that. I mean, were they all excited about the transition? Did everyone come along? I mean, show the video. I mean, anything special you did there, or anything from the internal side of things?
We did show the video. It wasn't necessarily the first thing that they saw or heard, because I do think you need to be a little bit more thoughtful than that. Mm-hmm. You know, not everyone will be excited from moment one. You know, we have the roots for this organization. They run deep. So founder's grandson, still here, works with us.
That's
he
great.
Is a key member of our R&D and innovation team. And, you know, we actually made a point to let him see it and be a part of the process.
Perfect.
Before everyone else did. Mm-hmm. And it was his feedback that started our process of, okay, people are going to be okay with this.
Got
right?
It.
Like this That's is, great. We're on the right track. We're on the right path. And so having him out there making the announcement with us, really, like, hey, awesome. Like we're going from the original Carbon name, because, you know, Scott Carbon, his name, this was New Carbon's, you know, the first name of the company was New Carbon's Pancake and Waffle Mix. Mm-hmm. And so it finally turned into New Carbon's Golden Malted, and then eventually Golden Waffles. Mm-hmm. So to have Scott Carbon out there with us as a part of that transition, it helped soften some of the, I would say, trepidation around change sure. that some of our oldest associates, longest tenured associates had.
That's excellent. And that's, I'm glad I asked it, because there's always, I mean, again, it's a thing, right? And you need to really nurture that. And again, I'm sure that people think it's such an easy thing and it's just an obvious thing. And again, when you see the final result, but that's interesting. I did not realize the grandson of the founder was in the company. So, you know, again, you have to pay homage, right, to the traditions and the history. And that's super, super important. So what's next for Golden Waffles? Is there an additional brand evolution plans on the horizon? Anything new that's happening there? Anything exciting that you want to talk about?
This is still fresh. So no new brand changes, right? Like we have arrived. We are Golden Waffles. And, you know, we're here to We're here to make it as easy as possible for anyone on earth to add fresh waffles to the menu. So our next steps are really more branching out. And instead of just being the hotel waffle or the amusement park waffle, really what our intent is to be the waffle for everyone. So convenience stores, truck stops, stops, QSR, right? Like there's immediate nerves that hit anyone when you start talking about adding a piece of equipment, adding a service plan, and adding a product into your portfolio, onto your menu. And so what we've done is we've invested a ton in, you know, adding to the team, getting our corporate sales and our local sales team staffed up so that they can go out and have these conversations live with as many of these potential prospects as we can. It's super unique, right? Like we're actually very well penetrated in terms of the accounts that already have waffles on the menu. We do really well there. You don't have anybody, you never will, everybody, and you never will. But we've done pretty well expanding the business out there. If you see a fresh waffle out there, the odds are you're probably seeing our fresh waffles. That's so awesome. So many of our sales are going into a customer that doesn't have waffles on the menu and getting them to jump on board with, imagine adding this to your plate of wings. Imagine adding this into, you know, take a bubble waffle and add it onto your menu with a boba tea and really complete the transition from dinner into dessert or after dinner drink, if you will, at certain locations, right? So, you know, our next step is making sure that everybody understands the waffle itself. It doesn't need to be locked into the confines of the breakfast cell. Like, let it out. Have dinner with your waffle, have lunch with your waffle. You can get a waffle faster than you might think out to your customers. We will not jam up your line. You know, the waffle iron itself, my six-year-old daughter can make a waffle, right? So it's as simple as can be. Our job is to make sure it's communicated well within the brand, within the messaging, happy made easy, right? Like that's really that next step for us, making sure everyone understands this is way easier than you may think. And once you sign up with us, we do all the work, right? Like you're not going to change a plate. That waffle iron breaks down. We will be in there within 24 hours, typically same day, but I'll hedge. Within 24 hours with a brand new iron. We're not going to be standing there with a drill and screwdrivers and try to fix it on your line because we're trying to save some money on you. No, we'll take it back. We'll give you a new one. We'll refurbish it ourselves in our plant in South Bend. That's what our wonderful people out in South Bend do.
That's great.
And so we understand the nerves. We understand the risk that you're taking with your business to welcome us into your family. We are going to make it as seamless and easy as possible. So that is really the next step for us, making sure everybody in the world knows that.
That's excellent. So at Quench, we do every year, and I forget how many years it's been now. I'm going to say 18 years, maybe one or two more than that or one or two less. But we do an annual food trends study. So we look at what's happening in the food and beverage industry, flavors, things like that. So we pay close attention to that and we create these. So how do you at Golden Waffle stay ahead of trends? I mean, do you rely on data, customer insights, articles, internal R&D? What's your process for trends in your business?
Yeah, our angle is to stay practical and grounded, not necessarily be hype driven, right? So customer insights are always going to come first. And even the data that we're harvesting, that's really customer and consumer preferences and asks. That's really what it boils down to. So the customer insights are always going to lead us down that path of what should we be focused on. Operators tell us what's driving consumers through your front door, what's filling your seats, you know, what's slowing you down, right? Oftentimes that varies by geography. And there is no one answer for all asks. So our internal R&D team, culinary team, spend a ton of time in the test kitchen, focusing in on the trends that matter. And so all trends matter. You can never be dismissive of a preference or what someone wants, but what we try to focus on are the trends that solve real problems. And so something that we're really focused on right now, big themes, speed, footprint, right? Simplicity. How can I get the waffle out faster without taking up too much space in my kitchen? You know, these are the things that we develop. We spend our time with on innovation, both with the iron and with the mix itself. There's actually a great company down in Florida, Rubik's. I think you're probably familiar with Rubik's. And they have one of the greatest taglines ever. We love problems. It's so good. It's so good. It's just perfect, right? And that's where we focus. Trends are interesting. Problems mm-hmm. are actionable. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that's how we stay ahead. You take the data, you take the customer insights, the customer always leads everything. And then we try to make ourselves fit within whatever solution they tell us they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine was on one of our podcasts, and he has a similar, I'll say similar model to you. He has broasted chicken. And the only way you can have broasted chicken is if you have a broaster. So it's sure. It's an equipment sale, much bigger than what a waffle iron is, but it's equipment, sure. equipment sale. And but it's also then the ingredient sale and a program sale. And in his case, it can even be a branded sale. Like he can, you know, if you have a convenience store, you know, Mike's gas stations, you can put broasted chicken there, but only if you buy the broaster and he puts the program in. So it's kind of almost like a franchise, but without a franchise fee. And so again, I see a lot of similarities in the business, and it's really, really kind of smart. And I, until I met him, I didn't really know that you could have a piece of equipment that could be a brand or a company, whatever, unto itself. It's pretty remarkable. So, okay, another question I have for you, and maybe this falls into some sort of the trends things, but health and wellness has been, you know, it's obviously on top of GLP-1s and low carb, this and all that stuff. And a waffle, I mean, it's a little bit of an indulgent treat. I mean, is there anything that you guys are working on in that regard that, you know, is that the health and wellness thing, trends, does that impact you guys at all? Or is it like, hey, look, when you want to have a nice indulgent treat or a great healthy breakfast thing, that you come to Golden Waffle?
No, absolutely. We focus in. We're much more than just an indulgent treat. Believe it or not, we made no alterations to the product we've been selling for almost a century, and we qualify for all of the health guidelines needed for elementary school breakfasts and lunches. Mm-hmm. And so there have been some changes, obviously, in terms of what is and is not acceptable on elementary school, middle school, high school menu. Mm-hmm. The waffle has replaced a lot of the breakfast, you know, sugary cereals and some of the other products out there that no longer can be served to children in schools. And so we didn't even need to make a change there. We have a decent protein content. We have a low sugar content. This is not a like terribly unhealthy product. Now, obviously, whatever you put on top of anything
can
make
sure.
it less healthy. But the waffle itself, it's already there. Now, we know that there's work to be done. We have our completely allergen-free product, mm-hmm. which is, you know, not just gluten-free, totally allergen-free, very good, rice flour base. So mm-hmm. if you have like an aversion to rice, it might not work for you. But if you have a gluten allergy or mm-hmm. any other type of allergy, you're probably pretty used to the rice flour. That's a great product. And we're continuing to expand into, I had actually kind of teased our fiber waffle and protein waffle,
yeah.
right? So our plan is not necessarily to create a whole brand new waffle mix. But we have our mix-ins. You can use our mix, which is already too standard in terms of protein content and sugar content, but you can add a fiber pack to it, which mm-hmm. we provide. You can gotcha. Add a protein pack to it. And we haven't fully launched it yet. And so it's not ready for prime time. We are launching it soon. Mm-hmm. So I would call it somewhat breaking news, me even saying it here on the podcast, but everyone will know about it when it's ready.
Yep.
And it's part of that listening to your customers, right? Yep. So customer insights drive your innovation. We know that we're all going to have to evolve as the GLP-1s continue to take mm-hmm. hold. And mm-hmm. as you know, preferences change just as they do on a regular basis, fiber and protein are two really easy wins that we can give to our customers without really needing to change their menu. Right,
like
you don't need a new yep. mix. You don't need a new iron. You can just mix this in, and now you have that. So we'll this is coming soon, 2026. We will awesome. Have these products ready to go.
And again, back on the trend thing, if protein. I mean, it's just every single year we can't. You know, and you know this. Everywhere you look, they're infusing protein and pushing protein. So it's great that you guys are on top of all of that. So okay, you know, waffles are a relatively simple thing, and a waffle iron's been around since 1869. Now we have AI, technology. There are all these huge influential forces in the food service industry. What impact does AI and new technology have on Golden Waffle? Well, how are you incorporating technology?
Potential trapdoor question, the AI. So, you know, our approach with AI is it has to be useful. It's not mm-hmm. necessarily gimmicky. So AI can help with forecasting, inventory management, service optimization, where we've actually implemented it. And this is all back of the house type stuff, but it's important to call out because it impacts people, right? You know, where we've most recently seen it is with cash application, right? Like you can, instead of manually making some of the moves that you need to make that can be relatively tedious, AI can sort some of those transactions for you and funnel them through with human approval at the end to make sure that everything is going where it's supposed to go. And that's really what AI is to us. Okay, so AI is never going to replace people. It's all about making good teams better.
Right.
So our approach, I would even say, like, this is a core belief of mine. Technology should really disappear into the experience, right? What makes this company special are people, frontline, associates building irons in South Bend, Indiana, reps on the road, working hand in hand with our customers. So our investments in AI are all centered on supporting our people and making it easier for them to focus on the needs of the customer. And that's what's coming next, right? Like there will be some automation built into the data that comes back from the iron so that we have better visibility into how equipment is used. We can provide faster support, make smarter decisions, because really all of our investment in the equipment and on the service is in making sure our customers that have signed up and committed to us never go without. You will never be down on your line and not be able to give your customer, your consumer, what they're asking for, a fresh baked waffle. And so we will supplement that as time goes on with some of that artificial intelligence, but it's all really meant to make our waffle guys and gals even more superpowered out there.
You know, make them more efficient, helpful as an assistant to them. And, you know, it takes some of the grunt work out of the day to day, but that was very well said. Very well said. Okay. So we're going to jump in and have some fun. We got into the heavy stuff. Now waffles are fun. So I want to end the interview with some fun questions about waffles. All right. People use waffle irons to make all kinds of crazy things besides traditional waffles. I'm going to name a few things and you can tell me if it's a real waffle creation, actually a trending thing, or something fake that we just made up. So for bonus points, let me know your honest thoughts on how good of an idea each one of these is, right? So Thanksgiving stuffing waffle.
Oh, that's real.
Okay.
That's real. And it's,
you probably made it.
surprisingly very good. Yes. Not even surprisingly. No, that's real. That's very good.
All right. This one will be easy. Bacon egg waffle.
Of course.
All right.
Yes, of course.
Watermelon waffle.
Funny story. I have seen that.
You have seen that?
I have seen that. Okay. Wouldn't recommend it.
Okay. we had that listed as fake. So if you've seen it, I guess we got to take that off. And
Not done with intent. It was actually a 4-year-old that decided that the waffle iron was within reach and a piece of watermelon would make it onto it.
And sounds like something in your neighborhood with the local kids.
But what I did learn was that it's easy to clean.
There you go.
That watermelon off of the iron. So that was good.
All right. How about a mac and cheese waffle?
Absolutely. And it's delicious.
Yeah. Ice cream sandwich waffle.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Lasagna.
Fake for now.
And we have that down as real. So that's
it. Yeah. I think you can do a stuffed. I would do a stuffed waffle with lasagna or with pizza even. But the lasagna itself, if you drop that in the iron, I don't know how that would perform. An exposed cheese could be a problem.
There you go. Marshmallow waffle.
In the batter, of course.
Okay. And then a grilled cheese waffle.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Have done that.
A staple, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you've been fantastic. And I always like to end on the same question for everybody. And I'm going to ask you, you can't say a waffle in this one. All right. So I'm just going to take that off the table.
Okay.
If you had one final meal, what would you eat and why?
Okay. I'll take waffle off the table. You know, the best meals aren't really about complexity. It's about who you share them with. And if I were to have a last meal, every night, you know, we ask our kids, what do you want as a treat? And what they ask for, it's so funny. I don't know where this came from either, but I've done this now hundreds of times. They want a deconstructed s'more. They want graham crackers, chocolate, marshmallows. And I would sit down and I would have probably s'mores with a root beer vanilla ice cream float, because that is one of my wife's like favorite things in the world. And the entire time I would be able to sit there and think about how wonderful the memories are of those things in my life. Like food's memory, that's why it matters so much. If it's just sustenance and you're not really participating in the same way that I do on a daily basis. So maybe not as satiating as some other people's answers are, but that would be my last meal.
Mike, that was a very thoughtful answer. It's a fantastic answer. And I want to thank you and congratulate you on your success and having, I'll say, guts to do a brand change and have a successful one at that. I think that's awesome. And again, I don't know you well. I got to know you here, but I can tell you, I know you're a fantastic father. And that's probably about the best compliment I can give anybody. So congratulations on that. And I really appreciate your time here.
That was really kind. That is one of the best compliments anyone can give. I really do appreciate that. I loved it. And the rebrand itself, it is easy to work through it when you have a team that's this easy to be proud of. Best team in the world. So they did wonderful, and we're very proud of where we're at.
That's super. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, sir.